Whether you know it or not, you have a mortal enemy. Satan is the great accuser, always making sure you feel guilty. He tries to do this even after we've sought God's forgiveness for our sins. Remember, he was a liar yesterday, he is a liar today, and he will be lying all the way to the lake of fire. Today, we'll learn how to deal with the devil. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer is continuing his series on what happens after you've blown it. He's telling us about the guilt you can't wish away and how to fend off Satan's attacks after your guilt has been covered with God's robes of righteousness.
And my dear friend, please, please don't attack the devil this way. Devil, I'm not as bad as you're saying I am. In fact, I can think of church members who've done a lot worse than I am. I'm not that bad. Don't ever do that. Number one, you probably are that bad. That'd be one good reason why that doesn't work. But the second reason is he has you for lunch. He has you for lunch. And he'll take you for dinner and breakfast the next day. We defeat the devil by saying, okay, I am that bad, but there's my righteousness, there's my garments. Jesus is my garment. Like Martin Luther says, amen, amen. If I may quote Luther, who is rather earthy in what he said, O Jesus, I am thy dung, but thou art my righteousness. I am as bad as Satan may say I am. But today, Jesus represents me before the Father. The garments have been placed upon me, and I point to those garments, and I stand not on the basis of what I've done and what I've not done. I stand on the basis of what Jesus did for me. I rebuke you, Satan. And then you can be free. Let me give you a second lesson. Guilt should drive us toward God, not away from him. Listen to what Spurgeon, the great 19th century preacher, said on this passage. He says, stand where you are, for remember you are standing in the only place where pollution can be washed away. You are standing before the angel of the covenant. It is before Christ that sin is to be confessed. Confess it anywhere else, your sorrow is not repentance, but remorse. What is remorse? Remorse is repentance made out of the sight of Jesus. True repentance is sorrow for sin in the presence of Christ. Foul and filthy as you are, there is but one voice that can speak you clean. Do not go away from that voice. There is but one hand which can touch you and make you pure. Stand where that hand is. Stand close there. Filthy as your garments are, shun not the face of your best, your only friend, but breathe out this prayer. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Purge me, O purge me now for thy love's sake. Run to Christ, not away from him. He's the only one who can purge you. Go to your best friend. Guilt should drive us to Christ, not away from him. Third lesson. If we cannot forgive ourselves, if we can't forgive ourselves, we are participating in Satan's lies, in Satan's lies. You must forgive yourself. If God has forgiven you, whose standards are so much higher, then you must forgive yourself, and you must give those consequences to God. There was a father who had to take his son to school because his boy missed the bus, and the father was very angry. And so as he zoomed down the highway in the truck, when he switched lanes, he swerved. And the door of the truck flew open and his boy flew out and was hit by an oncoming vehicle and was killed. For the rest of the day, the father cursed himself. He cursed himself as he looked into the mirror. He cursed himself as he paced the floor. And before the next morning came, he had shot himself with a .45 caliber rifle. Because you see, his conscience says, pay up! Pay up. Look at what you've done. And so his executioner came and demanded the ultimate penalty, and he paid the penalty that his conscience demanded. But he would not have had to do that. If standing in the presence of Christ, God were to acquit him of his anger and to say, yes, I sinned because I was angry. I sinned because I swerved. But standing there in the presence of Christ, if God can speak him clean, he can face life even if others do not forgive him, even if there is no resolution of the difficulty. Yes, of course, to live with regrets is one thing, but to live with raw remorse in the presence of Jesus is not necessary. That's why Spurgeon says remorse is repentance out of the sight of Jesus. Stand at the angel of the covenant. Stand there where you can be cleansed and forgiven and where your conscience can be purified. There's a final lesson, and that is that God honors all whom he forgives. It isn't just a matter of forgiveness, it's honor. Look at what the text says. It says in verse 6, the angel of the Lord, I'm actually ahead of myself, I wanted verse 5. Then I said, put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. The turban is symbolic now of the festal aspect of Joshua's priestly ministries. And notice what it says in verse 6. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. This is what the Lord God Almighty says. If you will walk in my ways and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts. It's okay, Joshua, for you to walk in my courts where I live and where my presence is, as long as you come clothed with the garments that I myself have provided you. God says, come and enjoy our fellowship because I have acquitted you. And if God speaks you clean, there's no one in the universe who can declare you to be guilty. And it is God's intention that our consciences be purged. The goal of this series is a conscience void of offense before God, and that's what we've been emphasizing in the future messages, before man. But it's that we might be pure before God, and that demanding conscience might be silenced, because everything that it has demanded has been paid for in Jesus. That's why we sing, Jesus paid it all. I'm told that in the movie, The Shawshank Redemption, it's the story of prison life in the Northeast in the 1940s. Apparently, the film focuses on the journey of two men's hearts through the trials and the temptations of incarceration, what it's like to be in prison. Red, the ringleader and the most seasoned of the prisoners, explains what happens when you live within those walls too long, he says. At first, these walls, you hate them. They make you crazy. After a while, you get used to them, and you don't notice them anymore. And then he says, the day comes when you realize you need them. Isn't that the way slavery to sin is? First of all, you hate it. You hate the garments that have been soiled by sin. Then you get used to them and you say, well, I'm managing with my guilt. I'm managing. I'm living. I'm going to church. I'm listening to messages. And then you begin to prefer it and to say, I don't want to deal with these issues. And you begin to prefer it and say, you know, it's manageable. I prefer it. And then in the end, oh, may it never be. You actually say to yourself, I need these dirty garments because that's who I am. And then you begin to live within those walls and you need them. And you end up preferring slavery to freedom. Jesus said, if the Son shall make you clean and free, you shall be free indeed. Free to walk in the courts of the Lord. Free to have fellowship with God. Free to live without the nagging voice that says, pay up, pay up, pay up. Oh, it's been paid. It's been paid. The terrors of law and of God with me can have nothing to do. My Savior's obedience and blood hide all of my sins from view. My name on the palm of his hands eternity cannot erase. Forever there it stands, a mark of indelible grace. Let's pray. Our Father, today we want to thank you for this marvelous story. We thank you today for the fact that our dirty garments are taken away and we're clothed in garments that you adore. And we ask today, Father, for those who have never trusted Christ as Savior, would you show them the beauty of exchanging their rags and their soiled garments for that which is holy and pure, because it's a gift given to those who trust Christ. And for those of us who know you, we pray that we might never soil those beautiful garments. May we never desire to. We ask that even when we do, we pray that we may be cleansed, because we desire the purity that you have made us to be in Jesus. Many, Lord, are struggling with guilt, with a sense of self-condemnation. Would you bring to them, Father, would you bring to them that precious gift of freedom, because they know that they've been forgiven in Christ. We ask. Amen. Amen. My friend, today, as you have been listening, I want to remind you that these garments that Jesus Christ offers us, these garments of necessity, are a free gift. And the reason they are free is because we can make no contribution to them. We cannot improve upon them. We cannot make them more holy, more righteous, more beautiful. They already are that. And all that we can do is to receive this gift that God has given to us. It is the gift of righteousness. It means that what Jesus Christ did on earth, which was totally acceptable to the Father, is credited to our account. So there are days when, in your defeat and in your despair, you need to say this: Father, I thank you that today Jesus is all that I need before your throne. He is my righteousness. He is my wisdom. He is my sanctification. He is my redemption. And the good news is that these garments, figuratively speaking, can be given to great sinners as well as lesser ones. Nobody listening to this today has committed sins too great for God to forgive. The garments of righteousness can be given to you, no matter how filthy you might find yourself to be. Come to Christ, the only one qualified to save you, to forgive you, and to give you his righteousness.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has wrapped up his message on The Guilt You Can't Wish Away, the second of six messages on After You've Blown It, Reconnecting with God and Others. Tomorrow, tune in to find out what God does with forgiven sin. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church, to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. This current series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. Also, it's in print as a Multnomah Life Change book. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. When you call, ask about the series After You've Blown It. Pay a visit to our website. You'll find us at runningtowin.org. And don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.